to you now is Bread of His Presence with your host, Pastor Cameron Urie, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Well, greetings and welcome to Bread of His Presence. So glad you could tune in today for another study of the Word of God together. You know, we've recently started a new series together on discipleship. And what we've started to do is to examine the role of a disciple back in the first century world of Jesus. And we've been seeking to answer some very important questions. Why did God want and make provision for His Son to be born as a Galilean? And more specifically, into a Galilean Jewish home. And for Jesus to eventually become a Jewish rabbi. I mean, what was it about the relationship between a rabbi and his disciples that would help the world best understand how God wanted to dwell in relationship with mankind? And to answer that question, I think we need to first answer a few others. What did it mean to be called by a rabbi in the first century world? What did the disciples of Jesus understand when Jesus extended that call to them to come and follow Him? And how would they seek to live that out? Those are the central questions I think we want to address because they help to inform us, or I should say, reform our perception of what discipleship really is. And so if you would, go ahead and turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. That's Luke chapter 2. We'll look at verses 39 to 52 during our time together today. And this is a very important passage because it picks up right after Jesus' birth, when Joseph and Mary, they take Him to the temple to present Him to the Lord. And of course, this involved a sacrifice. For them, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And they, of course, meet Simeon and Anna, who both say amazing prophetic things about Jesus. But afterwards, it says, starting at verse 39, "And when they had finished everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. Now the child continued to grow and become strong, being filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And his parents would go to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he became 12 years old, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning, after finishing the days of the feast, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know. But supposing him to be in the caravan, they went a day's journey, and they began searching for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. And it happened that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, 'Child, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously searching for you.' And he said to them, 'Why is it that you were searching for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?' But they did not understand the statement which he had spoken to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother was treasuring all these things in her heart. And Jesus was advancing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." Now, This passage always gives me goosebumps because I cannot imagine what it would have been like for Joseph and Mary to have misplaced Jesus and then to desperately start looking for him again. I mean, in my preparations this week, I wondered if, you know, don't we often lose Jesus in the midst of the daily activities, the daily religious stuff? It can be so easy to actually lose connection with Jesus to where we don't even recognize when he's there or not anymore. That's the danger that we always face. But you know, I also wonder if perhaps we haven't lost Jesus in a somewhat different way. You know, this past week I showed my wife a picture of Jesus sitting and teaching some of his disciples. And she openly confessed that she didn't really like this picture because of how it portrayed Jesus. I mean, he's sitting there with long, flowing hair, something no Jewish man would ever do unless you were a Nazirite. It was shameful for a man to have long hair in that culture. There's an Old Testament passage that explicitly commands men to keep their hair cut short. But this picture, of course, had Jesus with long hair, as they almost all do. His skin was way too bright. His hair was too bright. And he looked very little like a Jew of his day would. But you know, we've gotten so used to these kinds of images. We don't often even realize how much we've adapted Jesus to fit our own culture. You know, just recently I came across some very interesting pictures of Jesus being represented in other cultures, and I wish I could show them to you. I'll post them later on our Facebook page. But one of them shows Jesus as an Asian. Very interesting picture. Another one I found was very interesting. It's a painting by Marcos Zapata. He was a Peruvian painter who in 1753 gave us his own rendering of the Last Supper. Now, what Zapata would do in his paintings was he'd bring in all these different various elements from his own lands. And in this particular painting that he did of the Lord's Supper, Jesus is seen gathering with his disciples around a table. But what do you think they're eating? Not a lamb. If you look closely and do a little reading on this, you'll discover it's a cooked guinea pig. And the drinks that you see on the table are glasses of chicha, a fermented alcoholic or non-fermented beverage in some cases, of Latin America. Now, the idea that Jesus, a Jew, would ever eat a guinea pig, a non-kosher, unclean rodent, in lieu of a lamb, I mean, it seems absolutely comical. And it is. But what I want you to see today, and this is a theme that we're going to come back to in this series, is that this is what has happened to Jesus, at least to some degree, in our culture as well. We have, like Zapata did, changed Jesus to fit our own culture. We have cut Jesus off from his Jewish roots. And in separating Jesus from those Jewish roots, we have made him after our own image, rather than allowing who he was, and who he is, I should say also, to reshape our thinking and even our culture. And so that is part of what we're trying to do in this series. We are going to explore the life of Jesus in his Jewish context, so that in seeing who he was, we might better understand how, in light of Jesus' call for us to come and be like him, how we are to be as well. Now, this whole chapter is remarkable because in it we get a window into the kind of upbringing that Jesus had. First of all, we see that his parents were Jews who very faithfully followed the law of God. They had Jesus circumcised on the eighth day, and it says in verse 39, they finished everything according to the law of the Lord. We see also that they raised Jesus in Galilee, in their own city of Nazareth, there in their Jewish homeland of Israel. And we also saw, just recently in our previous message, just how dedicated many of the Jews in the region of Galilee were to knowing and living out the Word of God. They were committed to living out the Shema in every way they knew how. And many of them had the entire Old Testament text memorized. And so Jesus grew up within a community that identified and defined itself by the Word of God, and how they were connected back to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to whom God had made a covenant that, by extension, they were inheritors of as well. Jesus would have celebrated every Jewish holiday. He would have went with his family to all the pilgrim feasts in Jerusalem, a glimpse of which we get to see here in verse 41, but also later in verse 42, where we see he gets to go to Jerusalem for his first Passover at age 12. Now, that doesn't mean it was his first Passover he attended, but that was the first Passover in which he got to lay his hands on the sacrificial animal as an adult member of the family. That was what was called your first Passover, something Jewish boys were allowed to participate in after they had memorized the Torah by the age of 12. And so that's where Jesus was in his Jewish educational process. Now, even before this, during the first 8 years of Jesus' life, he would have been Mary's shadow. He would have followed her constantly, observing her dedication to God and the many ways that she expressed that devotion as a Jewish woman. He would have sat with her every Friday evening as she welcomed Shabbat, the Sabbath. They would have both sat together and listened as Joseph told time and time again stories of their forefathers from the Tanakh, what we call the Old Testament. Joseph would also have taught him the Aleph Bet, the Hebrew alphabet. Jesus also would start committing many, many verses to memory, just filling his heart with scripture. When he was about 4 to 6 years old, and there's some variation on that, he would have begun to attend school at the local synagogue. And I don't know about you, but that has always intrigued me. The idea that Jesus, God in the flesh, went to school. Because sometimes we think that he just knew everything, but he didn't. It says in verse 40, of Luke chapter 2, "Now the child continued to grow and become strong, being filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." And in verse 52, "And Jesus was advancing in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and men." Now, implied in those verses is the fact that Jesus had to grow and be filled with wisdom. And so we see that he had to study just like any kid has to study. And immediately, in elementary school, Bet Sefer, which means house of the book, he would start memorizing Torah. Both the girls and the boys would be part of this level of education, getting grounded in the book, in the Torah. And these schools, in the first century world of Galilee, they were always associated with a local synagogue. Every Jewish community would hire a school teacher, whom they would respectfully call rabbi, and that teacher, I mean, they didn't have any special authority in the synagogue itself, but they would be responsible for the education of whatever village that school was in. And in that school, Jesus, along with the other boys and girls, would have read and written out many, many scriptures, as well as memorizing extremely large portions of the Torah. Now, the rabbis would have all kinds of heated discussions concerning what age you could start teaching children Torah. But note this quote from the Talmud. I just love it. It reads, "Under the age of 6, we do not receive a child as a pupil. But from 6 upwards, accept him and stuff him with Torah like an ox." I just love that. And so that is where Jesus was. That was his life. From age 6 on up, he's being stuffed with Torah like an ox. He's being fed an all-consuming diet of the Word of God. And like I said before, by the time this level of education was finished, many of these students, including Jesus, by the age of 10 or 12 years old, would know the first 5 books of the Bible by memory. Every single word. That kind of gives a new level of meaning to Psalm 119:11, which says, "Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you." Doesn't that convict you? I know it does me. And one of the questions that I've been asking myself in this series, and I hope you ask yourself this as well, is how deeply are we really grounded in the Word of God? And how deeply are we ingraining the Word of God into the lives of our kids? Jesus grew up in a culture that revolved around knowing and living out the Word of God. And if we want wholeness in our lives and in our culture, that is what we need to get back to. Knowing God's Word, made manifest in the flesh in His Son, Jesus Christ. So that in aligning ourselves to the Word, we might be made like our Rabbi Jesus. And so let's commit to do so this day and every day. Amen.
Today's episode of Bread of His Presence is brought to you by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel or would like to subscribe to the Bread of His Presence podcast, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or breadofhispresence.org. You can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.